Hello, Blank Cool Tech listeners. This is Brian Peterson, a.k.a. Paladin. You probably don't know me because I've never been on here before, but hopefully this won't be my last podcast, but, you know, we'll see what happens. How well this one is received. I'm going to demonstrate for you it's an online role-playing game that, while it wasn't designed for blind people, it just happens to work excellently with screen reading software. At least, well, it works well with JAWS. And so I see no reason why it wouldn't work well with Window Eyes as well. It's completely text-based. It's kind of like those old books, you know, where you turn the pages and you write, you know, you basically tell the story as you went because you make the different choices. And it's kind of like those old text adventure games from Infocom, I think it was, that did that back in the 1980s and stuff. And this game is kind of a Dungeons and Dragons. It's kind of a Dungeons and Dragons game, and what it is you are exploring. You're an adventurer out to explore this kingdom. Well, some screen readers pronounce it Tissa, some pronounce it Tissa. I don't know if what the proper pronunciation would be, but and what your goal, you're basically out to, as they said in fairy tales, seek your fortune. And so I'm going to play a few of the smaller adventures for you, just so you get an idea how the game works. And a quick note, I had planned to do a demonstration where I created a character just to show you how it works, but that process can actually be quite tedious because, like Dungeons and Dragons, when you create your character, you have to roll a die that determines your starting statistics, you know, your hit points, your strength, and all that, and that can take a long time before you get one that's satisfactory. And the character that I just created happens to be fairly well-rounded. Oops. Bumped my hand on the computer keyboard tray. Anyway, so we'll just play with that character, Ariadne. I named her after the queen of, well, she was from Greek myth. Some of you might know her. I will discuss the stats. So we've got the character created, and so now we have to decide what skills she has. And so, and I'm using JAWS 4.5 with the Microsoft Sappy text-to-speech engine version 4 with Microsoft Mic. So we'll go over here to
JAWS.
Well,
Goldman Strife, the age of Athena, Microsoft Internet Explorer, main table with.
Okay, so we're here, we've got a list of skills, and we have 20 experience points to divide up among 4 skills. And in that situation, what I like to do is put 5 points in each skill, which will mean that all of my skills are at level 5, which is not very high, admittedly, but I mean, you can put all your points into one skill and then it'd be at level 20, but anyway.
Blank. Please select your starting skills, Ariadne. Points. Blank. You may assign a total of 20 points to 4 of the skills listed below. Just click the box to the left of the skill to add a point to it, if you wish to use. Less than 20 points, even no points, just click continue. Click on any skill name for more info. Blank. Table with 6 columns and 8 rows.
Okay, so we've got quite a few skills here to choose from. We have
Arcana Link.
Arcana, which, it can be useful. It's used for identifying, throughout your quest, and I should, this is going to lead me off, I should talk about this first. Most of Cerith is actually free, but there is quite a bit of content that is not available to what I like to refer to as demo users. And don't worry, it's actually very cheap considering everything that you have access to. You have access because there are some cities that aren't accessible at all to you if you're a demo user, and then certain parts of a city are not even accessible. Like some of the cities that are accessible, some of the quests that are found in these cities are not accessible to you if you're not subscribed. But the most you'll pay ever is for a subscription is $20, and that gets you a year of unlimited access to all current and future game content. That's joining the Adventurers Guild is what it is, and which does kind of lead, because throughout your quests you will find items in treasure chests or dropped by defeated enemies that are listed as unidentified. Like you might find an unidentified ring, and the only three characters that can identify objects are only available in the Adventurers Guild subscription, which is where the Arcana skill comes in, because then you can identify these items if you aren't subscribed. Now, keep in mind, you do have to get your Arcana skill up to level 30 or higher, and you do that by what they call training it, and that means you, and that's where you use your experience points that you get from monsters and quests and people like, and some characters will reward you for with experience for depending on how you do certain things, how you handle certain situations. So that's what Arcana does. It will identify unidentified items, and it can also, I believe, give you information about magical items that you find, and I mean, it can tell you if an object is magical or things like that. I don't know all of its uses, but yeah. A matter of fact,
table with six forms mode blank zero.
I'm going to assign 5 points to Arcana.
Arcana, 15% exp bonus edit. Archery link.
Now, 15% experience bonus. What that means is I would now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that means you get a 15% discount on your skill of archery. You don't spend as much experience leveling it up. And archery, well, that's pretty obvious. That determines how well you handle a bow and how accurate you are with your shot. It's a good skill to have, but it's not necessary. I mean, there are some adventures that you won't be able to complete if you don't have archery, but you can learn it. Even if you're not subscribed, you can learn the skill of archery later in the game if, you could actually learn it right at the beginning of the game if you wanted to. You just have to go to the right town and talk to the right person and pay him, I think, 50 gold, and he'll teach you the skill of archery. But yeah, that's what archery is. I'm not going to use that for
10%. Diplomacy link.
Diplomacy. 10%. This is a good skill. I mean, it can help you, like, there are two situations I know of, where, one situation where a merchant is offering to pay you for an item that you have in your inventory, and he will offer you a certain amount of money, but if you're not satisfied, you can haggle with him, and if you have the skill of diplomacy, you can get him to raise the price that he's paying, that he's offering for it. Now, that can only happen after you complete one of the adventures in the city of Trithic, and it happens to be the free one for all you people that aren't sure you want to subscribe yet, but then there's another situation where some guy is offering you information for a price, and you can get him to lower his price for the information. And diplomacy can also, basically, it's
10%.
It's very good for getting people. You can use diplomacy to get a person to change their mind about something, or it can get you out of a tight spot sometimes, and like if somebody is trying to kill you or whatever, you can, if you succeed in using your skill of diplomacy, you can
blank zero.
Talk your way out of the situation. So I'm going to put 5 points in diplomacy, so that's 10 points.
Horsemanship link.
Horsemanship is almost totally useless in the game at this point. And again, it's fairly self-explanatory. That kind of is that deals with riding horses or any animal that can be ridden, for that matter. And right now, there are no horses that you can get in the game, which is kind of unfortunate because I think it'd be kind of cool.
10% lore link.
Lore that deals with books and deciphering like ancient languages and things like that. And there is only one. Well, I think there are 2 situations actually where you can use the skill of lore. Other than that, it's totally useless. I mean, you can use lore to kind of. Actually, you can use lore to determine special items. I think you can. Some special items, you can use your skill of lore to determine whether or not one of them might be better to take than the other, or whatever. You can sometimes use that for. But mainly, lore deals with reading books and translating different kinds of code and things like that. So, and if you want lore, you have to select it at the beginning of the game, because there is no way to learn it at this point. Although the game master is supposedly planning to make all skills available for learning in the game. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm not going to assign any points to it.
15% exp bonus edit. Seamanship link.
Seamanship, another skill that is currently almost totally useless. It's, well, it determines how well you handle, how well you fare on the sea, how quickly you master ships and other vessels and things like that. You know, boats, ships, all that kind of stuff. So, right now it's only has a few uses in the game, and so it's almost totally useless, but so I don't necessarily get any points or assign any points to it.
20% exp bonus edit. Thievery link.
Now, thievery is a useful skill. Thievery, 20. If you level it up high enough, you can use that to pick locks on treasure chests and things like that, or you can even, I'm told, use thievery to determine, like, if a treasure chest is trapped. You can use it to sneak by certain enemies or to hide from them or things like that. It's a useful skill. As a matter of fact, I'm
going to
assign 5 more points.
10% unarmed combat link.
Unarmed combat. This, well, if you plan on doing a lot of fighting without a weapon, you want to have this skill, because otherwise your attacks will not be very effective if you're not equipped with a weapon. One of my 3 characters is actually an expert at an expert in unarmed combat, which means it's up to level 50, actually. So she's pretty good at, as they say, laying the smacketh downeth. I'm not going to assign any points here.
15% exp bonus edit. Weaponry link.
Weaponry. That is... 15. If you plan on using a lot of weapons...
0.
This is the skill. And there are a lot of sub-skills to it. There's one sub-skill for each type of weapon. So like swords, there would be weaponry slashing, which, yes, they're... So, depending on what skills you have, you may be more proficient with swords than axes, or axes than swords, or whatever. But if you just have the skill of weaponry, it would stand to reason that you would be equally proficient in all these. Now, you do have to have the main skill of weaponry in order to learn any of the sub-skills. I've assigned 5 points to weaponry, so we've got my 4 skills.
10 for... Woodsmanship.
This is a good skill to have. Lets you find your way in woods, and you can sometimes, when you kill a monster, if you have the skill of woodsmanship and it's trained high enough, you can use it to uh, take the monster's skin or the horns or, you know, whatever. So you can use it to skin the monster or the horns or to take its horns or whatever. So it's not a required skill, but it does come in handy from time to time. And there is actually a way to learn it, but it is kind of difficult.
Continue button.
So we've got our skills. I'm going to click continue.
Forms mode off.
Now, there goes my computer. It's thinking about something.
Page tech, border tech.
Okay, now what we're going to end up doing is picking one of the 10 spheres of magic that Ariadne can start with. So I'll talk about each one.
Table with conjuration link.
Conjuration. This power, in my opinion, at least, is almost totally useless. When you use it and it succeeds, you will conjure up an item like a suit of armor or a weapon. But for the longest, there was a bug in the game for a long time that would, no matter how skilled you were at conjuration, it could be at level 50, which, as I said earlier, is expert for any skill or power. That is expert. You could be an expert at conjuration, and for the longest time, all you would get was a suit of leather armor. And it's kind of odd, because what happens is the power conjuration, it works, it conjures items to you, but it draws them from other places, either in Srith or in other realms. And so what happens is the conjured item may sometimes disappear from your inventory, probably going back to wherever it came from to begin with. It doesn't actually create items from thin air. It just conjures them from one place to another. And I really don't see any practical use for it at the moment, but that's just me.
Checkbox not checked. Destruction link.
Destruction's a good power. It works in battle and outside of battle. In battle, you can use it to do damage to your enemies. And outside of battle, you can use it, like, if you find a door and you don't have the key to it, sometimes you can attempt to destroy the lock. And yes, this works on treasure chests as well. So it's a good power to have. My main character, Kiera, has destruction. I think it's at level 40, if not more.
Check divination link.
Divination. This is a good power to have. Like, if you meet somebody on the street, and sometimes you will have the option of using your power of divination on the people to determine whether or not they mean you any harm or what they want from you. And so it kind of allows you to gain a sense of what a person has in store for you, or it can allow you to sometimes sense dangers in the environment if you use it, or sometimes, like, if you, like, let's say you come up on an energy field and you don't want to step through it because you don't know what might happen to you if you do. So sometimes you might use your power of divination and you might find out that the energy field is only an illusion. So that's what that power does for you. It has quite a few uses. And in battle, it's kind of useless. I mean, it supposedly can give you an idea, give you insight into your opponent's next move. But all that really does is they lose a certain amount from their melee rating, which I'll talk about the stats in a bit. And they will temporarily lose some of their melee rating, which I haven't really noticed any difference in how strong the opponent is when you use it. So it's kind of not necessarily a power that you want to use in battle. Now, the next one.
Checkbox not checked.
Which I'm going to check anyway.
Check. Elementalism link.
Elementalism. This is an excellent power for in and out of battle, because it gives you control over the four elements, and you can, like, sometimes you might come to a burning building, and if you have the option, you can use the elementalism to put out the fire, because you might summon up a water elemental or something like that. So it's a good power to have. And then in battle, you can call the elements to to damage your foe. Every 10 levels of mastery, you get a new effect. Like at level 30, I believe, you call up a bolt of fire, and then level 40, you call up a sandstorm, and level 50 is my personal favorite, because that's lightning, and it does fairly decent damage to your opponents. And so it's a good power to have, and like I said, I'm going to start with it.
Fortification checkbox not checked.
Fortification. This is a good power to use, like, if you're in a situation where somebody is going to attack you, like, with a bow and arrow or a crossbow, you can use fortification to try and survive. You can use fortification to try and deflect it, deflect the crossbow bolt or the arrow or whatever it might be. That's what fortification does.
Fortification link. Gating checkbox not checked.
Gating is kind of a mixed bag. There's not a whole lot of use for it in the game, but it's used... It's a power of transportation. Somebody skilled in the power of gating can create what are called shadow paths that lead to various... Well, you can simply travel from one place in Srith to another, or you can travel from Srith to another world, like the Neverness, which is the world where all your magic comes from. but gating, it's pretty well useless. I mean, you can use it... Well, actually, it can be used. Like, if you find a shadow path that somebody else has opened, you can use your power of gating to try and close that shadow path and prevent the person who created it from summoning demons or whatever it is that they're trying to do. There are some places where you can use the power, but on the whole,
gating link, illusion checkbox not checked. Illusion link.
Illusion, pretty self-explanatory. This power will conjure up illusions of various kinds that you can use to fool your enemies into thinking that, like if you're all alone, you can use, and you've got like a huge army of goblins or a big old band of highway robbers, you can use your power of illusion to give the impression that some border rangers just showed up on the scene, so the robbers will run off or whatever. You can use that to scare off would-be assassins and things like that. And so, I mean, it's a good power to have. It's not entirely useless. In battle, it's not the best, but because all it does is creates illusions that attack your enemies, and that's about it.
Necromancy checkbox. Necromancy link.
Necromancy. This is a power that is kind of useless in the game at the moment, and it deals with, well, the dead. You can call up the dead or the undead to do your bidding sometimes, or sometimes you might be able to communicate with them with necromancy. It just depends on how skilled you are at it. And so... it's kind of a, like I said, it is kind of useless at the moment. I mean, there are a couple of occasions where you can use it, but it's not a power necessarily very high up on the list. There's only two ways you can learn it, because main place, there is a place where you can learn most of the magic in the game. But, and it actually is available to non-subscribers, so, at least I'm pretty sure it is. But they don't teach necromancy there. There are only two ways you can learn three ways that you can learn the power of necromancy, and I will leave you to find out how you can learn magic besides starting with it in the game.
Restoration checkbox not... Restoration link.
Restoration. This is the sphere of magic that deals with healing. You can heal yourself, or occasionally you can heal other people. It's a good power to try and get. Even if you don't start with it at the beginning of the game, you should try and learn it, because it'll probably save your skin on more than one occasion, and you may be able to save other lives with it. Matter of fact, there is one situation where you can, and the experience reward that you gain from it is, it's not huge, but every little experience point counts, as I like to say.
Telekinesis checkbox not checked.
Telekinesis is, it has its uses, but it's not, they're kind of few and far between. I mean, you can use telekinesis to pick the lock, or to manipulate locks on doors and treasure chests, or sometimes you can use it to, like there's one situation where you might come across an axe that's embedded in a tree, and you might use your telekinesis to try and pull it out, but it costs a lot of it costs a lot more experience points to raise your powers up to the higher levels than it does for your skills for some reason, or I should say the increase is far steeper than it is for powers than it is for skills. Because your skills usually increase in price about every 5 to 10 levels of training. So at level 1, power might only cost 13 experience points to train, and by level 5 it could be up to 17, if not a little more. It just depends. Whereas skills, a lot of the time, they start at level 1 and it'll cost like 7 experience to train them. So it's a kind of a... It can be kind of tough.
Continue button.
So we've got our powers. In my case, elementalism. You may want one of the others. It just depends. And by the way, it's everything I'm doing is with the standard JAWS reading keys. There's nothing.
Border text up. Page. Border left. Select visit.
Okay, so now we have a series of. Now these are only available to subscribers. And this, I'm doing this review as a subscriber, so you can kind of give you an idea of what makes subscribing worthwhile. I'm gonna
blank.
You can, you know, if you subscribe, you'll get more information about these adventures. I'm just gonna select one, just for the
select. He's a straight select. He's a select frantic street, a burning house. Blank, link.
I'm gonna choose a burning house, because that's kind of, I have to say, that's one of my favorites.
Page has 11 frames active. Blank, 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 blank. For the last few months, you have traveled through Western, Link, Tissa, seeking adventure and fortune in this remote portion of the kingdom. Your wanderings have taken you through countless small towns and villages nestled into the thick forest of the kingdom's western flank. Blank. Despite the keen desire to find adventure, you have thus far found little to test your skills or save your hunger for the unexpected. However, as you approach the outskirts of a small village at the edge of a great wood, you are greeted by a scene of despair. Blank. A house along the village's main road is ablaze. A large plume of dense black smoke rises high into the air above the burning structure as the frantic townsfolk try in vain to douse the ravaging flames. List. Link. Please continue. Border cleft. Page. Board. Blank. You rush up to a group of bystanders who stand shaking their heads in disbelief. As a part of the roof groans and sways, you learn that the family, all save the father, have made it out safely. Blank. A woman, her face blackened with soot, does her best to calm 3 frantic children who desperately cry out for their missing father. Blank, please miss, says one of the children, a young girl whose voice is choked with emotion. You must rescue my father. I know he's still alive in there. List. Link. Attempt to rescue the father from the burning house. Point. Point. Attempt to rescue. Decide against it and continue on your melee rating. Link. Attempt to.
So you have several options here, and I'll talk about the stats after this adventure is complete.
Page. Blank. Blank. List up.
Oops.
Please hurry, begs Black Main. Please hurry, begs the young girl. As you prepare to do what you can to locate the missing man, the roof of the house sways and groans. It is quite near to collapse. Enter the burning. If you have the power of elementalism and wish to use it, Link, melee rate. If you.
Okay, so I'm gonna try and channel my power of elementalism. Now, at level 1, it has a tendency to fizzle out fairly frequently, so we'll see what happens.
Let you call upon a blank. Chance of success, 44%. Blank. Attempt to channel.
Okay. So there's a less than even chance of success here, but we'll see.
Border. Paint frame. Blank. 8. Border. Blank. The use of your power has succeeded.
Nice.
List up link. Please get. Blank. 3,000. Blank. Your use of elementalism has succeeded. Blank. XP 16. Blank. You've been awarded a total of 16 experience. 16 XP applied to elementalism. Blank. A smile creeps across your face as you feel the divernal energy flowing forth from your body. The townsfolk shriek in alarm as a powerful water elemental emerges from the village's main well and surges through the air in a wide arc, slamming into the blazing inferno. Blank. Within moments, the water elemental has doused the flames, leaving in its wake only the smoldering remnants of the house. Blank. Several villagers rush into the smoking ruins and retrieve the missing man. He is dazed and sooty, but is soon revived and will indeed suffer no lasting ill effects from his ordeal. Blank. A raucous cheer goes up from the gathered townsfolk. List link. Please. Page blank 3 XP 16 blank 16 XP applied to general blank. The man and his wife and their 3 children thank you repeatedly, and you are continuously praised for your bravery by the large gathering of townsfolk. Blank. Not wishing to linger here longer than necessary, you bid them all farewell and make your way through the village along its main thoroughfare. As you near the far side of the village, where the thoroughfare rejoins the road upon which you've been traveling, you are stopped by one of the village elders who has run up from behind you. Blank. It is agreed that these should be yours, he pants, his face red from the unaccustomed exertion, as he hands you a fine-looking pair of chain gloves. No doubt they will be of service to someone with your bravery. Blank. Item. Blank. You have acquired chain gloves. Blank. You thank the elder and wish him well before leaving the village and once again setting off on your way. Link, please.
Yep.
Stat.
So we got our first piece of armor.
Blank. It's late afternoon when you come upon a moss-covered wooden sign at the edge of the road. The following is emblazoned on the well-weathered wood. Hodler. A haven in the wilderness. Blank. The sign further indicates that the village in question is only 4 miles along the road from this point. Blank. Without further delay, you set off along the road in the direction of Hodler. List of.
Oops.
Without further delay, you set off along the road in the direction of Hodler. Point. Point. Link. Please continue. Page. Four. Blank. 3,000. As you travel along the road to Hodler, you encounter a group of locals making their way towards the nearby village. You strike up a conversation with them, and they are only too happy to fill you in on the latest gossip and recent happenings as you follow the meandering road to town. Blank.
So what I'm going to do here when we get to the village is I'm going to save the... Well, I'm going to rest because that bit of heroism there cost me one... Nevernal Reserve Point, which is the magic. That's what magic is called here, is Nevernal Energy. I'm going to rest and save the game, and then I'm going to try and get a better weapon, because all I have is a rusty knife. And that's a piece of junk.
You learn, as luck would have it, that Hodler and the surrounding areas are not without their fair share of troubles. Blank. Increasingly, people are reporting strange happenings in the Westwold area outside of Hodler to the northwest. Several abandoned wagons have been found on the roads near Westwold, with no sign of passengers, cargo, or horses. And farmers in that area have begun to report missing livestock. Blank. The recent events have served to remind several of Hodler's elder residents of the days when it... Out of, the recent events have served to remind several of Hodler's elder residents of the days when it was not uncommon for roving bands of goblins to sweep down out of the Felwardian mountains and raid Tiss's western towns and villages. Blank. Last, though certainly in no way least, Hodler and many of the surrounding towns and villages have long been plagued by a greedy and problematic mountain giant named Link. Upon me, Jack. The immense giant and his two cruel sons have extorted an increasingly burdensome tribute from the local settlements, in return for maintaining the peace. Lang, you can't help but feel that perhaps you'll play a hand in these affairs before you're done. Lang, as you draw onto a wide tree-lined lane running between two halves of a hillside orchard, the group of locals bids you farewell, as each goes their own way. Lang, you continue to follow the lane for several minutes, until it opens onto a broad, stony track leading down to a collection of small wood buildings surrounded by a dense, sprawling forest. It is your first glimpse of the village of Hawkler. List up, Link. Enter the village.
Okay, so we're gonna enter the village of Hawklore, and so basically what we learned is the village is currently having goblin-related issues, and also giant-related issues, because for a number of years the mountain giant has been demanding tribute from the citizens in exchange for not wasting the place. And as it said, you can't help but feel that you'll play some part in these affairs before you're done. You're right. Now, one of these adventures is free. The one that I think we're going to do during this review is free. It's called The Goblins of Westwold, or maybe it's The Caves of Westwold. I don't remember the exact name of it, but that one is free, and it's a good adventure for people who are just starting out, because it's nice and relatively easy, and the experience reward also isn't half bad, so you may choose to embark on that adventure first. Now, first, before we do anything, though, I'm going to talk about the stats, like I promised.
Blank, border, blank, stats button, blank.
Oh, yeah, I better click the stats button, because it's going to say something about...
Page, area, blank, mister, table, blank, link, melee rating, blank, for teacher, 32.
32, that's my melee rating. It's, melee rating determines how well you fare blank in battle. Because the game will compare your melee rating to your opponent's, and it'll give you a statement basically saying this fight's yours, or don't even bother, or something. Well, I mean, it's more formal than that, but you'll see what I mean.
Link, stamina, blank, 34.
Stamina is your health. At no time do you want this stat to reach zero, because obviously if it does, you'll die.
Blank, Link. Nevernal RSV. Blank.
Nevernal Reserves, or Nevernal RSV is what it's called now.
8-9.
And it says 8-9 because I did use one point in channeling elementalism to put out that fire. And that, as long as you have Nevernal Reserves, you can use magic. And for it always costs you one point, never more, that I've ever noticed. So even when your powers increase in strength,
Black gold, black 421.
Gold, that's your money. Actually, there's two kinds of money. There's gold, and then there's adventurer tokens, which adventurer tokens are probably only going to be available to Adventurers Guild members. And they are the only form of currency accepted at the place called Tally's Trading Post, and I may, just for the heck of it, during this review, I may just go ahead and go and make a little trip to Tally's just to give you an idea of what they have. The items there are available nowhere else, and some of them are quite incredible. There's a sword there that I've got my eye on, but it's really expensive. It has a melee rating of 16. And it's, actually, there's quite a few items that I have my eye on that would, but adventure tokens are not easy to get. And the opportunities to get them have been very few and far between.
Blank, best link, agility, 15, except...
Agility, that determines how well you avoid attacks and things like that. The higher that score, the better, and mine's fairly high. All these stats have a minimum value of 3 and a maximum of 20. They can't get any higher than that.
Link, Might, 16. Exceptional.
Might, that's physical strength. That determines whether or not you can force open the lid of a treasure chest or lift a heavy rock or something like that. So, it all depends how high this stat is, and mine's fairly good.
Link, body, 17.
Body, this determines a few things, like it can determine how quickly you regenerate, or how much health you recover after battles, because you generally do regain, like, if you take any damage during a battle, you tend to regain some, if not all, of the damage you took. And I'm guessing a higher body score increases how the amount of health you recover.
Amazing. Link, aura, 13.
Aura, this is one of the three stats that determines how well you use magic. And I'm guessing that aura determines how much nevernal energy you have. The higher that score is, the more nevernal energy you have at your disposal.
Above him. Link, mind, 20. Superhuman.
Mind, evidently. My character is very intelligent. Mind determines probably how easily you learn magic, I would think. And it also, like, if somebody tries to read your mind or control you, like if someone tries to hypnotize you, a higher mind score, such as the one that Ariadne has, will help you resist such control.
Link, spirit, 18, amazing.
Spirit, this is another of the three. Aura, spirit, and mind are the three stats that determine whether or not you can start out with magic. And spirit, well, spirit and body together kind of serve an interesting purpose. Like, if you try to use magic in battle and it fizzles out, there's a chance that you can be weakened to the point where you won't be able to act for maybe one or two rounds. It doesn't always happen, but if your body and spirit scores are high enough, you can actually, they will actually, some more often than not, enable you to recover quickly even when your power fails, so you may not even lose one round of combat because your spirit, you recover so quickly from the failure of your initial attempt to use your power. So that's what spirit does.
Link, luck, 14, above average.
Luck, this is a
table in
score that determines how well you, like, well, luck combined with thievery can help you hide from enemies or sneak up on enemies or things like that. And luck, well, if you want to participate in the archery tournament in the city of Trithic, you probably want a higher luck score than 14. I mean, 14's not bad, but it could be better. So, yeah. a high luck score can really come in handy.
Blank experience. Blank 80.
80 experience points. You get experience, as I said, from killing enemies or completing quests, and the experience rewards you get from a quest depends on how difficult the quest was. I think the minimum you can get is maybe 32, maybe a little less. I don't know exactly what, but because, I mean, I got a total of 32 experience from that little mini-adventure, 16 of which was applied to my elementalism. And that's another thing. This is a new addition to the game. When you win a fight, or when you are awarded experience for whatever reason, that experience is, well, like if you use a power like I did outside of battle, you may get an experience reward, all of which is applied to that power, which means you can only use that experience to train that power, and then you have general experience, which you can use to train any skill or power. But anytime you use a skill, or I should say almost any time, not necessarily all the time, but almost any time you use a skill and it succeeds, you will probably get some experience applied to that skill or power. like in battle, if you just use your weapon and you kill a monster that way, all the experience that that monster gives you will be applied to weaponry, or most of it, and then some of it will be applied to general. But if you use elementalism, let's say, and that's how you kill your opponent, some or all of that experience would be applied to elementalism, and maybe some of it might be applied to general. It just depends. It's kind of random. But, like I said, the skill or power-specific experience can only be used to train the particular skill or power that it's assigned to, or applied to, I should say. Which has made training some skills actually a lot easier. So the more you use them, and the more they succeed, the more experience that skill has, and that power. So the less of your general experience you can spend training that power, because it will draw on your specific experience first. And only when that is exhausted, draw on your... Well, it'll draw on your specific experience until you no longer have enough specific experience to train the skill or power another level higher, at which point it'll use up whatever's left of your specific experience, and then... As the saying goes, it'll pick up the rest of the bill with your general experience, or some of your general experience. So that's how that works. It's kind of I apologize if this is confusing. This is the best way I can think of to explain it.
Blank alignment. Black good.
Alignment. This is just more for effect. It doesn't really play a part in the storylines, any of them, but your alignment can vary depending on how you handle certain situations. Like if you see some people being ambushed by robbers and you don't do anything to help, your alignment may, because you start out good, and if you continually ignore people who need help or whatever, or you attack people for no reason, your alignment can change from good to neutral, I'd imagine, to wicked or evil or things like that. There's several different alignments for each direction, so to speak. I've only ever been good or neutral. I've heard of people that have been saintly and righteous and noble and virtuous, but I've never quite made it to that yet. I don't know. I guess it depends on how well you handle certain situations.
Blank. Best link. Marks of death. Zero.
Marks of death. You want to avoid these as much as possible, because while you have any marks of... Now, marks of death... Well, first I better talk about...
Link. Runes of life. 20.
Runes of life. Each time you die, you stand a chance of incurring a mark of death. Now, as long as you have runes of life, you won't get any marks of death. And one rune can actually spare you from several marks of death. I mean, they can... Sometimes one single rune of life can save you from getting a mark of death as many as 5 times, even sometimes even more. Other times, it'll be destroyed after a single death. So, right now, I have 20. Now, I think... Because it used to be that you only got 3 runes of life, and you could purchase more with your experience points. Now, to do that, you just click on the...
Link. Runes of life.
You just click on Runes of Life, and there would be an option for purchasing it. For purchasing one. Runes of Life cost 32 experience. And so as long as you have at least one rune of life, preferably more, you won't get any marks of death. Now, if you do get a mark of death, you won't be able to train any of your skills on your own. I mean, you can still train with other people. Like, you come across the weapon mistress, she's a mercenary named Theoni, and if you come across Theoni, you can raise your weaponry skill level with her, but you won't be able to train it yourself if you have any marks of death. I mean, you can have other people train your skills and powers, but you can't do it yourself if you have any marks of death.
Zero. Link. Marks of death.
Now, if you click on marks of death, you have the option to remove... If you have enough experience, you have the option to remove some or all of the marks of death that you have. It costs 16 experience to remove one rune, or one mark of death. So you should keep that in mind.
Adventure log.
That's only available. Well, the adventure log appears even if you're not subscribed, but you can only view it if you are. And what happens is each time you complete an adventure or you encounter an important person in the game, that event, adventure, or person will be inked into the adventure log. And you can, if you're subscribed, you can go back over the adventure log and review your various adventures that you've completed.
Table in fright frame, blank border, blank board, blank bottom frame, blank front tape, blank table, visiting zero link, add tokens.
Adventure tokens. I forgot about that. Well, I told you about
20. Link zero link. Marks up link. Put link. Add token zero.
I forgot to. Well, I mentioned adventure tokens. You can only use them at Tally's' trading post, and at the moment, Ariadne doesn't have any. So, and like I said, they're not easy to get. So, you. Okay, so after the
view adventure log visited link,
after that's done, we have
stats button.
This lets you view your statistics, which we already are.
Items button.
This lets you view your inventory.
Skills button.
This lets you view the list of skills that you have.
Powers button.
And obviously this lets you view your powers, and you can attempt to use them. Although, the only powers that you can just use anywhere... Well, the only power that you can use just anywhere is Restoration. You can use that just about anywhere, and you will regain any stamina that you lost.
Log button.
Log. I'm not sure what that is, but I think that's another way of viewing your adventure log.
Map button.
Map. This lets you view the map, and there is a text version of the map, which will give you your XY coordinates in a dungeon, although you do have to have the enchanted map, which you can only get if you're subscribed. Because one of the adventures... in one of the adventures, one of the characters will give it to you. But anyway, this will let you view the map.
Rest button.
Rest. This will let you rest and regain health.
Save button. Quick. Save. Rest. Map. Log button.
Oh, log. I think log, actually, maybe you can use that. Well, just for the heck of it.
Right.
I'm gonna click on that and see what
it does. Has it safe. Safe. Blank. Blank. Adventure log. Visit link. Ongoing ads. Close log visit.
Aha, I was right. Now, there used to be a button there called and notes.
Marks of death link. Quick bat button. Rest button.
Okay, so rest. That lets you restore your... Now, you can rest anywhere that is marked safe. Which generally means most towns are considered safe, and there are certain areas in some dungeons that are also safe that you can save in and rest. Now,
save button.
I am gonna save here.
Save now button. Explore the realms adventures for this. Leave the village of Hodler link.
So I'm going to talk about... We have all these options here.
Image, heart skills link, Chessa link, terrific link, Talia, visitor.
Now the description of Hawklore.
Blank, blank.
Now in a lot of places there are a lot of links to various... the names of various places. So like if I clicked on Heart Hills, it would give me information about the Heart Hills. Or if I clicked on Talonis, it would give me information about... So you may choose to click on some of those places because you can learn about... And that's one thing I like about this game, is it has its own history, and even mythology behind it, so it's kind of cool.
Safe one, safe. Fort blank, make blank.
So Hawklore is safe.
You're in the center of the village of Hawklore, a small settlement nestled on the edge of a vast forest, at the eastern flank of the, link, Heart Hills, of western, link, Chissa, blank. Hawklore's citizens are mostly farmers and woodcutters, who enjoy fruitful commerce with the cities of the north, like, Link, Terrific, and, Link, Talinus. The hard-working people of Hodler delight in the toil of their daily lives, while enjoying the peace that has thrived in Tissa for more than a century. Blank, there seems to be a mood of gloom hanging over this place. The citizenry appears to be on edge, and few of Hodler's residents seem willing to venture past the bounds of the village. List of...
Okay, so we have all these options. We can...
visit Turk's Mercantile, link.
Now, the mercantile... there isn't a whole lot there that is of any use. Some of the items, like length... you can buy a length of rope that you can carry. So far, there's no use for any of that. And while there are lanterns there, that at one point you actually did need to buy one because you couldn't see in the dark, now you start with an adventurer's lantern, so it makes the lanterns you can buy at the marketplaces in the towns pretty much useless.
Visit the Hodler Smithy, link.
Visit the smithy. This is where you want to go to buy weapons and armor, although most of the weapons and armor you can buy here is of relatively poor quality, which reminds me.
Items button. Pay for the unused drop rusty knife, equip link, chain gloves, WC, drop used, equip link.
Now it said WC there, that stands for well crafted.
Pay for the explore the unused drop rusty knife, if link.
If, or I should say IF, that stands for inferior.
Step.
Which is why I'm going to get pay a new
frame.
Knife here pretty soon.
Blank, 32, blank, link, blank, 38.
So I have 38 stamina points. Now, every time you equip a piece of armor, you stand a pretty good chance of having an increase in your stats, like your stamina.
With save,
like
five.
Those chain gloves, that increased my stamina points
power,
by
four,
because I had 34, and now I have 38.
Please.
Okay, I just saved.
Visit the Stoneback Tavern, link.
Visit the Stoneback Tavern. That's what we're going to do in a bit, because there is an opportunity there to get a pretty good weapon.
Visit the Hills Feed Inn, link.
Now, the Hills Feed Inn is where you can go to rest and recover your energy, and actually, there is one possible adventure there, and I think that's the one we're going to do today instead of the goblins, because it's quick and... easy. I mean, it should give you an idea of what the game has to offer.
Visit the village council building, link.
Now, there's really not a whole lot of use for visiting the village council building outside of some of the adventures that are in the game.
Visit the stables, link.
Visit the stables. There is one mini-adventure in the stables that, well, there's no fighting involved in it, but it enables you to make a little extra money. And if you're like me, and there's a particularly good sword in the game that you can buy, even if you're not a subscriber, because there's one adventure that you can win and get the prize, and then you sell the prize to a merchant, and that same merchant will sell you a very powerful sword, which has a high melee rating, and it also boosts your stamina points to a certain... by 4. It has a melee rating of 8 and a stamina point bonus of 4, and it also heals you. Yeah, in battle. It will sometimes heal you for usually small amounts, but I've heard of it healing you for larger amounts. It's called the Hail Blade, which is actually an anagram of heal, because it's H-A-L-E. It's a good sword, but it is kind of expensive. And so any little adventure where you can earn money is a good thing.
Visit the church, link.
Visit the church. There is an adventure in the church as well, and it's one of the free ones, and it's another good adventure for when you're just starting out.
Visit Elumir the Sage, link.
Elumir the Sage. She is only available to Adventurers Guild subscribers. She is one of the three characters that will identify your unidentified items. As a matter of fact, I'm going to
leave the village of Hodler
because we're going to get an unidentified item just about now. And this little adventure that I'm about to do right now, by leaving the village, there are three possible items you can get, and they're all unidentified.
3,000 blank. As you are making your way out of Hodler, you are approached by a white-bearded man on horseback. The man is clad in worn blue robes and stares down upon you with fierce dark eyes. Perhaps you can answer me this, he says sharply. Would it be the sun or the moon?
Okay, now there's no right or wrong answer, but the answers you give determine what item you get. And my favorite combination is...
Answer moon, Link.
Answer moon.
Border on. Black, 4001. Black, the bearded man nods curtly, as if he has agreed with your answer, and he immediately poses another question. Black, perhaps then you can tell me would it be the sea or the stream? Answer sea, answer stream.
Okay, answer stream. So it's moon, stream.
Vane or... Blank, Vane for... The bearded man nods curtly, as if he has agreed with your answer, and he immediately poses another question. Blank, perhaps then you can tell me would it be dusk or dawn? List of... Answer dusk, Link. Page heading. 4005. Interesting, says the man in response to your third answer. Matt Blank. Interesting, says the man in response to your third answer. Now, here is something for your trouble, friend. Blank. The man reaches into his pack and removes a small cloth-wrapped object which he tosses to you. Before you can respond, his horse breaks into a quick trot along the road. Blank. You are about to call after him when suddenly he and the horse shimmer brightly and disappear from view. Link, please.
Yeah, so, we just got an item.
Page, blank, 4,000, blank.
Now, I'm guessing the numbers there determine how many people are online, I don't know.
Still puzzled by the strange encounter, you carefully unwrap the object that he tossed to you and discover that it is a rather plain-looking stone medallion. The medallion and the iron chain from which it hangs do not appear to be remarkable in any way. Black item. Black, you have acquired an identified stone medallion. Black, you take a quick look around but can see no further sign of the rider or his horse, satisfied that this encounter will likely remain a mystery. You once again set off on your way. List Link, please.
Okay, so we have an unidentified item. The very first one of the game.
Four images back.
So we're going to head back to Hawkler. Now first, I'm going to show you what happens when you leave the town.
Take the road south towards the village of Durnsig, Link.
You have the village of Durnsig, which is one of the villages you can visit. There's some good adventures there, one of which not only will net you a fine experience reward, but it also lets you acquire some very good armor and weapons. Well, there are two items in particular that I really like. Actually, the only two that I really like, but... the others actually are, I mean, they're not horrible or anything. There's 7 items that you can get, from this adventure. And, there's a sword that is very good, and then there's a cape that's pretty good that increases your melee rating and your stamina points. And I'll let you figure out what that is and everything.
Take the road out of town that leads east towards Talinus and Gralduk, Link.
Now, that Talinus is the kingdom's capital, and Talinus is available if you're not a subscriber. Well, most of the city is available. The adventures for this location that you saw, there was a link in Hawklore that said adventures for this location. I'm hoping you heard that in there. A lot of places have those, and only a few of them are free. The first one in Hawklore is free. The Caves of Westwold is free, and the Thane's Tournament is free. But for the most part, I think you're going to find that all the others are subscriber-only. And matter of fact, the City of Gralduk is only available, or accessible, I should say, if you're a subscriber.
Take the road heading north towards the City of Trithic, Link.
Trithic. I will kind of tell you, that is where you want to go if you want to learn the skill of archery. And it's inexpensive. Like I said, it's only 50 gold, and then, of course, you do have to buy a bow. But there's some pretty good adventures there, even if you're not a subscriber. The Thane's Tournament's a good adventure. Of course, I will warn you right now that like where I am right now with a melee rating of 32, you don't want to try it. You can win the tournament if your melee rating is 45 or higher. Preferably higher, like in the 50s would be an ideal time to try and win that tournament. Because some of the fighters in that tournament are quite strong. Okay, so we know we can head south to Durnsik, we can head east to Talonus, at least, or we can head north to Trithic. But we're going to
change your mind and stay in Hodler, Link.
Because we've got to identify that item. And my Arcana skill is not high enough.
Visit Erk's Mercantile, Link. Visit the church. Visit Elamir the Sage.
Elamir the Sage.
Page. Border tech blank. She looks up. Her days blank. A small, cluttered stone dwelling near the center of the village is home to Elamir the Sage, a student of all manner of arcana and folklore. Elamir spends her days deep in the study of the obscure and the cryptic. Blank. She looks up as you enter and scowls. Have you come to waste the light of day, or is there something I can do for you? She snaps. For 25 gold tokens, Elamir will identify all unidentified items in your possession. List Link. Pay 25 gold and have your items identified.
Yeah, I remember. It was really frustrating because I remember playing with a character.
Right, a line.
When I wasn't subscribed because the Adventurers Guild hadn't been established yet. And so I found all these items, and I didn't know then about the Arcana skill, what it could be, what it can do. So I had all these items in my inventory that were not identified. And, like, I had an unidentified ring. I forget what all I had, but it was kind of annoying because I didn't know what these rings are. And so then I was subscribed, and I talked to her and she identified my items, and we're gonna see what she says here.
Black gold minus 25. Black, your money pouch is 25 gold tokens lighter. Elumir's disposition softens somewhat as she looks over your belonging, paying particular attention to those pieces that warrant her expertise. Black, your unidentified stone medallion has been identified as blank. You thanked her. Point. Warrior's medallion. Blank. You thanked her for the identification and bid her a good day. Link, please.
Yeah, so we have a warrior's medallion, and that is my favorite common error.
Heart skills link. Item.
So we're gonna take a look at that just for the heck of it.
Mister unused drop rusty knife unused chain with you warrior's medallion MG link.
MG, that stands for magical.
Frightened.
Mister, it says Mister. It's supposed to be MR for melee rating.
Blank table, star, class, armor, mech, star, ink, one.
ENC, that stands for encumbrance.
Star.
How much space it takes up in your inventory.
Quality, magical, melee rating, one. Stamina points, two. Might, one. Tip, blank. This plain stone medallion does not appear to be remarkable in any way.
Okay, so it increases melee rating, stamina points, and might.
Jaw. Warriors. Equip.
I'm going to equip it. I didn't realize it increased might. I forgot about that. So we'll see now. Melee rating is now 33.
Black Link, Black 40.
My stamina is now 40.
Black Link, Black 396.
So I have 396 gold now.
Black Nest Link. Agile 15, Link 17, Link, Might 17.
So my Might is now 17. Which is pretty good.
Eight. Quit save button. Quit button.
I'm gonna save the game.
Save.
Just in case.
Please.
And we're going to visit the Stoneback Tavern.
Visit Leap Adventures for this.
Well.
Visit the Stoneback.
We were gonna visit the Stoneback Tavern, as it calls it.
Border friend. Four. 18. Black. This.
Now we have a few options. We can talk to the tavern keeper. His name is Piripor, I think is how you say it. You can mingle in the tavern, which there's only two situations in the game right now where anything happens from that. Anything important, I should say. Or we can read the sign in the doorway, or inside the door.
Read the sign inside the door, Link. Move, leave the tavern, Link.
Of course, we can leave the tavern, so we're going to read the sign.
Hey, Black Frog, Mr. Black Link Blank. Black 20. You carefully read the hand-painted sign just inside the front door. Blank. Feeling brave and hearty. Have a taste for finer brew. Let old Pure Preserve up. A mug of hammer tongue on for you. Blank. Anyone stout enough to down an entire flagon of my special brew and retain their wits will win the prize. Blank. Come see Pierper if you're up to it. Block list of one item. Go ahead, see.
So we're gonna go see him about the contest.
Blank. Pierper's face lights up when you tell him that you're prepared to accept the challenge of downing a mug of his special hammer tongue brew. Black mug, did you say? He says, seemingly distressed by the word. Yes, well, you see, actually, it's a flagon, a rather large flagon, if you will, like this. One. Black, the tavern keeper draws out a very sizable flagon and holds it proudly in front of him, for you to examine. This would be a large flagon for a normal brew. Blank, it's all right, if you'd rather back down, he says. List of one items. Accept the challenge.
I'm gonna accept the challenge to see if Ariadne can hold her booze. Because actually, the prize is well
Black
worth it.
Mainframe. Black Pierper's smile broadens until you think it's about to spread off his face. The tavern keeper puts down the flagon and rubs his hands together feverishly. Then, without warning, he raises his fist, laughs heartily, and shouts with almost feverish glee, getting the attention of everyone seated in the common room. Blank, let us see what Ariadne the Brave is truly made of, he grins. Link, please.
Okay. Now the goal of this contest, I'm just going to tell you, is to drink the entire flagon, and including the foam, and then you have to get up on your chair and stand there for a minute. And if you can do that, you win the prize.
Every head in, slapping your back. Blank, Pierper clears the far wall, and in a few, blank, he sets the flagon down, list of one items. Pierper clears the crowd and proceeds to lead you over to one of the tables on the tavern floor. Once you are seated, he disappears through a doorway on the far wall, and in a few moments returns, holding a frothing flagon proudly in front of him. Link.
So. He's given us a flagon.
Black 29. Black made. Black Pierper lays out the rules of the cup. Blank. You're to swallow every drop of the hammer tongue, including the foam, he says sternly. If you, the table, you're to swallow every drop of the hammer tongue, including the foam, he says sternly. If you manage to make it through that, you're to stand up from the table, climb onto your chair, and hold that spot for 1 minute. This brew is strong and works very quickly. Whenever you're ready, Ariadne, look. Black every up your map list link.
So, yeah, like I said, you're supposed to drink every drop and then climb up on your chair and stand there for a minute.
Black, your lips up, black, don't drink blank at once. Patrons, black, go on, cast off out of here, him ready. He shouts. Before Pierper can reach the old man, he stumbled out of the tavern and onto the street. Black, don't you pay him no mind, Ariadne, says Pierper apologetic as back, black, most of the others in the crowd, as batty as they come. Don't you pay him no mind, Ariadne, says Pierper apologetically. He's a real nuisance, that one, and it ain't the drink, mind you, it's his head. He's as batty as they come. Most of the others in the crowd not in agreement. Blank, still, it remains your decision. List, Link. Continue on with the contest and swill down the hammer tongue. Continue on with the decide, melee rate. Continue.
Okay, so what happened was this guy decided he was gonna try and get me not to drink this stuff because he says it's poison, and the other tavern patrons kind of weren't too happy about that, so I'm gonna continue on with the contest.
Page. Blank. Main. The moment the first up. Blank. Main. The moment the first of the thick, creamy ale reaches your mouth, you realize you're in for it. It may not be poison, but it is without a doubt the strongest brew you have ever had the displeasure of tasting. Blah. You put forth your best effort and begin taking large gulps of the putridly potent drink. Blank.
Putridly, it pronounces it wrong.
Please pick a random number between 1 and 20. Blank. Link. Blank. Tick reason. Stat check versus body. Difficulty. Moderately difficult to penalty.
So, this game, this particular contest, it will add 2 to whatever number I pick. So, I have to be careful, hopefully. Well, because actually, you don't actually enter a number. You click on the die and it'll roll, it'll randomly pick a number and then add 2 to it. So, whatever number I pick, it has to be.
Success. You will need to pick a number less than or equal to your body score 17.
It'll have to be less than 17, so.
Excellent.
We'll see. Because the game will add 2 to whatever number I pick, so hopefully. It'll be less or equal.
You pick blank 17. Blank.
Ooh.
Your body check has succeeded.
Just barely.
You less than or equal to 17 to succeed. You picked 15 modified by 2 for a total of 17. With only a slight degree of difficulty, you manage to down the entire contents of the flagon, including the film. Then, you slam the flagon down onto the table, and as instructed, take up a standing position atop your chair. Blank. The contest is not officially over until 1 minute has passed, but the moment you step onto the chair, the entire tavern erupts into cheers. Pierre is smiling along with the rest of them, but you sense that he's not nearly as happy as the others. Blank. Finally, Pierre calls you down from the chair and slaps you on the back. Blank. Well done, Ariadne. He bellows. Let's have a cheer for our swill master. Blank.
So I'm a swill master now.
The patrons erupt once more, their chorus of voices reaching an almost deafening level. Pierper strides out of the common room and into the back room of the tavern. He returns moments later with your prize. Please. Pierper has rewarded you with a large flask of his infamous, although now likely to be slightly less than infamous, Hammer Tongue brew. Blank item. Link. Flask of Hammer Tongue Link.
Now, you can't drink this stuff yourself because the game won't let you, but I like to take it just in case there is some use for it later in the game.
Class. View it. Step. Bottom.
You used to be able to give it to the mountain giants in the
frame.
Up in the mountains, but you can't do that anymore.
Pierper has reward. Blank. Pierper pulls you aside, away from the other patrons, and speaks to you in a low tone. Blank. He tells you that his cousin, a local huntsman by the name of Aylmer, lives on the outskirts of the village in a small cabin, and that he has the second part of your prize. He tells you that he didn't want to say anything in front of the other folk due to the valuable nature of the second part of the prize. Blank. To get to his cousin's cabin, he tells you to leave the village, cross the bridge to the west, and take a right at the fork in the road. Blank. He also congratulates you one more time. Blank. Exclaim. Blank. Visit Bailmer has been inked into the ongoing section of your link. Blank. Link. Adventure log. Blank. List. Link. Flip.
Okay, so, we're gonna visit his cousin.
Paid best agility link. Nivernal stamina link. Engage, read this, move up, leave it, move about the taverns, leave.
I'm gonna leave the tavern for the moment.
Paid list, visit the hall, visit Pierper's.
So we're gonna find him and get
fright
the
and
actual prize.
Blank, blank. Aylmer seems quite happy to have company, and he welcomes you into his small cabin on the outskirts of the village and offers you a mug of steaming, link, pillow, blank. No doubt you'll be wanting that prize that Pierper sent you here to fetch. He laughs. News certainly travels with a good bit of speed about these parts. Wouldn't you say? List Link.
Now, Palo is kind of like the Scythian version of coffee. Matter of fact, if you click
it
on the
has.
Link for Palo, it'll tell you that the flavor is kind of like strong black coffee with his kind of an undertone of hazelnut or hazelnut or something like that, or walnuts even, I think is what it is.
Black. Three. Black. Bailmer produces a hinged wooden box and flips open the lid to reveal the glimmering blade of a soundly crafted dagger. A small ruby is set into the weapon's hilt. Baelmer tells you that the dagger is enchanted and was given to him many years back by a spellcaster known as Glorik, who has since passed away. He tells you that the dagger will help with your combat prowess and that it's extremely valuable. If you find someone who can afford it, it might fetch a pretty sum, he remarks. Of course it's a decent weapon, so I'm sure you can find some use for it. Item. You have acquired enchanted dagger. Explain. Baelmer has been inked into the events section of your link. Baelmer rushes over to check upon of link Pella that's boiling on his hearth. He returns momentarily and offers you a mug of the steaming brew. Several mugs of Pella later, you decide that it's time to bid Baelmer a farewell, and you politely do so before leaving his cabin and making your way back to the village. Link.
Alright, so we have the enchanted dagger, which means I can say bye-bye to the rusty knife.
Pay for step items button. Pay visit. Leave the event. Explode. Use droplet. Rusty knife. Drop.
Rusty knife. It sounds almost like it's southern.
Yes.
There goes the rusty knife.
Page table stats items step you what drop you check drop you unequip link enchanted drop you equip.
So like there's links for equip drop use
unequip stats.
So we'll see what the enchanted dagger does.
Blank 35 link melee rating.
So my melee rating is now up to 35.
Save.
So I'm gonna save the game.
Save now.
We're gonna go back to
page break. Explore.
Actually,
visit the Hills Feet.
We're gonna go to the Hills Feet Inn. Like I said, there's an adventure there that I wanted to show you.
Page. The Hills Feet Inn is all but deserted. The innkeeper, a slender one-eyed woman named Jenda, smiles at you while going about her daily chores. Two men are seated at a table in the inn's common room, going over a map. One of the men is rather rotund and dressed in exotic silks, the other seems less refined, and by his looks appears to be quite a rugged individual. Link. Approach the two men. Approach. Engage in conversation with Jenda. Leave the inn. Link. Please get. Engage in. Approach the two men. Link.
Actually, you used to be able to come and sleep at the inn. There were like a few different rooms that you could get, but you can't stay at this inn anymore.
You approach the two men seated at the table and engage them in conversation. The large man introduces himself as Tired, and the younger man sitting next to him as Nendo. The larger man explains that he's a merchant looking to move a wagon load of cloth to the city of Trific in the north. He tells you that the road north to Trific has become a dangerous place of late, and that he is seeking to hire a couple of guards for the journey. I've already got Nendo here, he says, but with the trouble there's been lately about the roads, I could use another. You look like you'd be good in a pinch. I tell you what, I can pay you 20 gold tokens when we arrive in Trific, if you sign on for list of what pinch.
Oops.
I tell you what, I can pay you 20 gold tokens when we arrive in Trific, if you sign on for the trip. Accept the offer, Link. Decline the offer. Please continue button. Blank. Please continue button. Fright. Please continue button. Main view. Images. Accept the offer.
So I'm going to accept the offer.
Page. Blank. Main. Explain. The armed escort has been inked into the ongoing section of your link. Tired jumps up from the table in glee when you accept the offer, and he and Nendo set about preparing the wagon for the journey. We'll leave immediately, says Tired, as he loads some provisions into the back of the covered wagon. That way, we can be in Trific in 3 days' time. Or less. Within the hour you have begun the journey north out of Hotler, seated at the front of the wagon with Tired, who's driving, and Nendo, who seems ever watchful of anything and everything. During the traveling you learn that Nendo met up with Tattered in the city of Gralbach several months back, and has been in his employment as a guard ever since. The traveling, T-A-D.
Oh, it's traveling instead of traveling.
The first 2 days of the journey go smoothly, but at dawn on the third day of travel you are confronted with the first real danger of the trek. List of one items, trek dot dot dot, link, please.
Okay, so you've got danger.
Defend the 130. The wagon slows to a halt as five men armed with axes and wooden clubs step out into the road to block the way. Tavern whispers to you that the wagon is much too laden to even consider outrunning them along the road. Blank, give us the wagon, and we'll spare your lives, says the bold leader of the five men. Blank, when Tavern refuses their demands, the five men search forward and attack. Blank, your ability as hired muscle is being put to its first test. Mendo draws his long sword and leaps to intercept the men before they reach the wagon. Tavern towers on the buckboard. List of one item. Buckboard PUCK. Defend the wagon and flee from the scene and return to Hotler. Link. Melee ring. Defend the
wagon. But we're going to defend the wagon. Now here's where the game will compare your melee rating and it'll tell you.
Fright fort fort image begin combat button blank blank.
Now you have the begin combat button, but right above that
blank graphic. Are you sure this enemy isn't already finished? Black five bandits begin.
So order. It says, are you sure this enemy isn't already finished? Which is a good
eight
thing.
Area.
You want to hear that one. Now the lines that you may hear range all the way from "Are you sure this enemy isn't already finished?" to "You are staring into the eyes of death." And
kill your enemy, normal button, aggressive button.
Now, in some places, instead of killing your enemy, you can also subdue them, but this is not
defensive
an option
button.
Here.
Page columns, blank.
Now, the three fighting styles. Normal is a combination of both defensive and aggressive fighting. You don't cause as much damage, but you also don't take as much damage. You cause more damage than you will if you're defensive. Completely. And then there's aggressive, which is obviously totally aggressive, no defensiveness about it. You cause more damage, but you take more damage, and then you can also fight defensively, which is you inflict less damage, but you also take less damage. I guess the stronger an enemy, the more advisable, kind of determines your fighting style. Like, if you're fighting an enemy stronger than you, you may choose to fight normally or defensively. It just depends on what the enemy is or how strong they are.
Blank, 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 blank. You roll 18. Blank, attack, aggressive. Your enchanted dagger hums as it slices through air. Enemy loses 25. The bandits attack ferociously. You lose 0. List end. List of 2 item. Your status, hail 100%. Enemy status, near death 11%.
Wow, 25 damage to those guys.
Normal, but
that's a good
8,
score.
5, blank. Table with 5 columns and 5 rows. Blank, blank. You roll 7. Enemy loses 9. List end. List visited link. You have slain your foe.
Yeah, that was pretty easy. So I've killed the highwayman.
Fain. 104. Blank. XP 1. Blank. You've been awarded a total of 1 experience. 1 XP applied to general. Link. Blank. Quote. 1 link. The age of Ixthian has descended upon Scythe. Blank.
Now every time you kill a monster, when you click the "you have slain your foe" link and it tells you your experience, you'll also get the latest news or something like that, and the latest news is that the age of Ixthian has descended upon Scythe. But then again, we already knew that because that's the name of the game, is the age of Ixthian. And if you click that link, you'll go to a story about this demon that's coming to Scythe, and there are some adventures that deal with his arrival, but actually there's only one that officially deals with that. But anyway, you'll learn more about it as you play the game.
Quote. Huh. Knew I picked the right person for this job. Explains Tattered. Blank. You and Nendo pick over the dead bandits and discover some items which may be of use. Blank. Link. X common link. Link. Wooden club common link. Wooden club common link. Please. 6 link.
6 gold pieces. I think I'll take those.
Board. Step. Paprit, please get you help them collect gold tokens. You help Mendo clear the bodies off the road before continuing the journey north. Link.
That's the end of those guys.
Page. 104. The rest of the journey to Link. Terrific. Passes without incident. Upon reaching Terrific, Tattered pays you what was agreed upon, and then purchases you a coach ticket back to Hodler. Black gold 20. Black You've acquired 20 gold tokens. You accept your 20 gold tokens, after which you board the coach bound for Hodler and several other points south. Blank. Well, at least you shouldn't have any more trouble with bandits, unless there's more of their ilk lurking about, last tattered, as you depart, anyway. You can handle them, I'm sure, Ariadne. Blank. When the coach arrives in Hodler 2 days later, you disembark. List link, please. Main, Hodler, Tissa link, Terrific link, Talidus, Pay of it, Tap Trip, Tis, Heart Skills link.
Okay, so, we've completed that.
Adventures for this location, link.
Just for the heck of it, I'm going to show you the adventure. That there's actually more than one adventure, but you can only complete the rest of them.
Below are adventures that you may embark upon from this location. Click the appropriate start adventure link to begin. You may at any point abandon any adventure you have embarked upon without loss. Good blank. The caves of Westwold. Blank link. Blank. A dark shadow has fallen over Hodler of late, as a handful of its citizens have gone missing. It is widely suspected that goblins have re-inhabited some of the caves that lie scattered about the Westwold region to the north. The consensus of the village council and the head of the militia is that the goblins must be removed by any means necessary. Blank, go back button.
Yeah, the caves of Westwold.
Melee, go back.
There is one more called the Giants, which you can only complete after you complete the caves of Westwold. And you don't want to attempt that one until your melee rating is nice and high, and if you have magic, you want it to be nice and high as well, at least level 50, especially elementalism, because that's a tough adventure. So, I'm going to go ahead and save.
Quit, save.
And say, save and quit the game.
Page, save now, fright.
Because I would think this should give you a pretty good idea of...
Please, please.
I mean, it was fairly easy, but it should give you a pretty good idea of the game.
Yes.
And since it was the first part, obviously it would be kind of mundane, but it would seem like that, but again, it's
Y. Jaws. Gold Wave.
It's a very easy that was the very easy part of the game. It's a good way to make up some experience, but you know, that's just a small portion of what the game has to offer. There's a lot of adventures and different places to go, and new content is being added all the time. So, and there's also a forum, which I'm on there fairly frequently. As a matter of fact, my name on there is Paladin, which is why I chose that name for this recording. And oh yeah, and I suppose I better give you the URL. It's www.srythe.com, which is why the synthesizer pronounces it Srythe. Eloquence calls it Srith. I'm not sure which way is the proper way, but so it's srythe.com, and you can join the game for free. What happens is you'll supply your email address, and you'll create your username and your password, and then they will, within 24 hours, the game master, whom we at the forum affectionately refer to as the GM, he'll send you I think it's 4 digits, a little activation code that you enter into the form or whatever. I guess there's a link that you click on the email, or maybe you log in and then you enter your activation code, I think is what happens. You enter that code and your account is fully created, and then you have the option to either create a new character, which non-subscribers can have 2 characters, I believe. Adventurers Guild subscribers can have 4, so you can create your character, your 2 characters, or you can subscribe, which, as I said, it's well worth it, considering it's only $20 a year for unlimited access to the game. And, yeah, matter of fact, I probably should renew my subscription at some point. Although it probably won't expire till at least October, I think, because that was when I subscribed last year. I'm pretty sure that was when I subscribed. It was October. But anyway, you can subscribe using PayPal, which means it'll be activated probably within the hour. You won't get a confirmation email or anything except from PayPal. You might get one from PayPal, but the game won't send you an email. You'll know your subscription has been activated when you see the upgrade to AG link underneath the play link for each of your characters if they're not upgraded, you know? And when you're playing the game for free, your characters will be normal. Like, in the normal game, you won't, or in the free version of the game, you won't be able to play the little mini adventures like I was playing earlier, the Burning House, where I saved that kid's father. That is only available to subscribers. But, you know, in the normal game, you'll just start in Hawklore, and you go from there. And you probably don't start with as much gold. And also, the Adventurers Guild also allows you to choose from pre-generated characters, which are kind of cool, because they have their own share of abilities and powers and skills and gold and experience. And so it's kind of, it depends on what you're looking for. There's pretty much a character for anything. If you want an all-magic character, there is a character that has all the powers, but his melee rating isn't all that good. And even a mage needs a fairly good melee rating, at least right at first. But anyway, that's pretty much what the game has to offer, a small portion of what the game has to offer, I should say. I'll leave you to figure out the rest. And if you have any questions about the game, or even any questions or comments about this review, you can email me at b-peterson, all lowercase, and that's P-E-T-E-R-S-O-N, so b-peterson@hotmail.com. And I'll reply to you as soon as I possibly can. If, you know, like I said, if you guys want to email me for whatever reason about the game or anything. That said, I hope you enjoyed this review, and I hope you enjoy the game.